Joy of Union. It is my good friend, my dear sister, Joy Melchizedek, Joy Regina, and TJ Ryan. How you doing, Joy?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I am great, but I also heard that you got a little banged up. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, but I had such divine angelic intervention, they kept me out of a body cast. So I'm thinking we need to do a show on angels, which kind of leads me into the moment. I have a feeling we have some angelic energy floating around in this next interview, too, you know? Very excited. I'll tell you more about the fall, though, later, okay?
Sounds good. And so the two people you mentioned to me that we're about to bring on, I went to their website, and it's just fascinating all that they've done, especially in the last 10 years. So would you like to introduce our guests?
Sure. I understand that they are activists, planetary activists, and professional wanderers. That we have Noelle and Bob with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy and TJ.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Our delight.
Thank you for being here.
You too. You too. So it was interesting. We were chatting just a bit beforehand, and the first question, I went to your website, and I've heard about you, believe it or not, through a few people, and it's your reputation precedes you, I want you to know, and it's all good. It's all good. And I just wanted to start off, I had a question about what it was that got your attention and made you feel like this was a leap that you had to make, and I understand it was about 10 years ago, right?
Right. You know, I feel the universe is always preparing us. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I never know what it's preparing me for. So Bob and I had started to do some what we thought was personal development work, you know, where you swallow fire and you walk on coals and you hang from trees and do all that kind of stuff. And and through that process, we met a spiritual teacher, and I'd say we started to change from a corporate life. Bob, how many years were you in the corporate?
Yeah, I was probably 35, 37 years, always with nonprofit organizations, aviation-related nonprofit organizations. But it started beginning to be clear that we needed to not be doing a W-2, build a white picket fence sort of thing.
So in about 2008, the way we like to describe it was Bob was vibrated out of his job. You know, because it was kind of like you could feel that spirit was moving. And the thing about it, I think we were so accepting of, like, you know, it's time for us to part ways. And did that. We sold everything we had in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where we lived for, 16 years?
Mm-hmm. 16, 17.
And at that time, I got a message from one of my sisters, one of my older sisters, that she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and told she had 6 months to live. And because we're at this point, I guess, of leaving that old lifestyle, as we found it unfulfilling, she invited us to come and take care of her. And so we moved from Oshkosh to Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And almost like 6 months to the day, she transitioned. And it was a real gift to us. You know, we hope we were a gift to her. I'm sure we were. But, you know, through that process, it really asks you and challenges you to evaluate what life is about. And, you know, just seeing my sister, who had just completed a 50-mile bike hike, was an amazing tennis player, a children's librarian, beloved in her town, at age 61, transitioning, you know, we just started hearing the message that we were supposed to be out in the world and continue doing our work. And Bob, would you like to add something to that?
All of that. And for me, it was my whole career was wrapped up in. I learned how to fly when I was in high school, and my whole career an identity was wrapped up with being a pilot and being on this career track of responsibility within aviation organizations. So it wasn't particularly easy for me, but while some people find their spiritual path through a traumatic moment of one sort or another or some kind of a revelation, ours, as Noelle said, was an evolution through personal development. What I describe personal development led us to spiritual development, led us to spiritual journey, led us to what our dear friend, who's a Roman Catholic priest, refers to as Bob and Noelle's spiritual odyssey. And it was, you know, there were things along the way that I wanted to resist, both in career, in our spare time, besides my 80-hour-a-week job. We were developing a 170-acre residential air park in the area. And, you know, when the neighbors and the town council are yelling at you when you're trying to get through approval of things and whatnot, sometimes you wake up and realize, wait a second, we're not being welcomed here, but maybe this isn't these individual people and the situation, but rather it's the bigger picture that we don't need all this stuff, and we're supposed to be doing something that's much more valuable to humanity and valuable to our journey.
So that's probably a long answer, but...
No, that's good.
Yeah, that's... Yes, wonderful.
But it was at that point that after my sister transitioned that I got a message. It said, you're supposed to go in an RV. And I'm going like, an RV? And the, you know, we're both pilots, and we owned airplanes, and the last one we owned, the model was called an RV, RV-6A. And so I'm going like, and we had sold that, and so I'm going like, an RV? And it said, not the kind with wings. And I thought it was very curious that I stayed up that whole night looking at RVs, because Bob and I had never been in an RV, and we never camped together, and we've been together since what? Since 1980, so that's a lot of years. And then 2 weeks later, we're down the road in an RV and a truck, and that's when it started. I would say we bought that in 2010.
Yeah, April of 10.
My sister passed in February, and we were down the road in April, and haven't stopped since.
So your whole life totally turned around.
Absolutely, possessions and stuff, we had quite a collection, and we really have recognized the value of relationships, experiences, and we both love to travel. We both, in this last 10 years, I've become even more curious. I think Noelle was born curious, and her whole life, even prior to me, was all filled with, you know, her college work and her PhD, and her travel has always been about curiosity.
Well, let me just add that I'm a quadruple Sagittarius, and
I understand.
Bob and I are both fire signs.
I wasn't informed of that until about 25 years into our marriage. The evidence was clear prior to that.
Right.
It all started to make sense.
Well, you need all that fire to propel forward this way, don't you?
Indeed.
Yes. So, in the process of hitting the road and doing your journeying, I've heard things like you went and you did marches and you wound up in jail one time. You're my kind of people, I want you to know, and I think TJ's too,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good resume.
Yeah. that worked for us. Along with the profoundness of what you're doing, I think from what I saw, you're hitting so many different avenues and different kinds of people. And I was wondering, like with the marches, what has it propelled you to get involved with doing marches at that period of time when you did? And how did you wind up in jail? I want to know that too.
Well, Bob, would you like to...
If you wouldn't mind telling me that, you know, or sharing with our listeners.
Yeah,
Not at all. It's, you know, and it's interesting because some people, when they know us, get to know us in contemporary times, they think we were hippies from the 60s and we might have even been at Woodstock. And Noelle and I couldn't have been further from Woodstock. We're in very different places. I was in, you know, a very conservative Republican home, being told what to think, being told what to, how to vote, being told what to think of world events. And Noelle was in her adventurous, during those years, her adventurous in college, finishing up high school and starting on her college journeys. But our journey into sacred activism, we would really say, was born from our journey in our spiritual growth. It wasn't that we were recruited into that or awakened to that. I think it was, I know it was because our journey about our spiritual journey put us into a place of volunteering for various organizations and movements that woke us up to current, quote, current events, to what's really going on in the world. I mean, we're regular, we watch Democracy Now! Every morning for the news, and we watch international news. We don't watch basically anything in the United States because it's all bought and paid for by corporate media, and the bias of you either...
Well,
you know,
that's our bias.
Yeah. Well, you either, it's either far right or far left are telling the stories. And so we volunteered for an organization called Pachamama Alliance.
Well, we still do.
And we still do. We do a four-hour symposium as volunteers about called Awaken the Dreamer.
Changing the Dream.
And that is, the organization is amazing. It's an international organization based in California. And their mission is to bring forth a spiritually fulfilling, environmentally sustainable, and socially just human presence on the planet. And when we learned of the organization, we said, we want to be involved, and became volunteers. We've facilitated 25 or 26 of these events in around the country. And it's all about answering the questions, where are we, how did we get here, what's possible now, and what's mine to do. And the more we facilitated those events around the country, the more we ourselves woke up to what's currently going on, not just in the United States, not just in politics, but a much wider world view. And we continue to ask ourselves, what is that same question, what is ours to do? And that has brought us to be involved in a lot more activism, particularly around climate, around social justice, around voting rights and things like that.
Yeah, so I would say that one of the main pivotal questions in the Pachamama Alliance is that we do an exercise where we are asked to look at our unexamined assumptions. And the first time I took the Pachamama Alliance course, I was going like, well, I don't have any unexamined assumptions. And, of course, that made the facilitator kind of smirk and pat me on my head. And as I sat there, you know, so many things bubbled up. And I find that question, when you really start digging on that question, what are my unexamined assumptions? Like, I have an unexamined assumption that I can own land. I can own Gaia. I haven't, you know, and I'm like, wow, I don't like that one.
Even though we've been doing it for decades.
Exactly.
Or thinking we were doing it.
Exactly. Yes. To think you can own Gaia. And an unexamined assumption that all laws are fair, that all schools get the same, you know, treatment. And as we, you know, just continue to look at your unexamined assumptions.
That there will always be war.
Yeah, there's unexamined assumption. That's why we're part of an organization called World Beyond War and support what they do. So that would, I don't know what how this question started, but...
kind of how we got involved in activism.
So that really woke us up. So one of the things that Joanna Macy says and others is like, whatever breaks your heart, then that's what you're called to do. Well, we found so many things breaking our hearts, so we found so many things to do. And one of them was when we were arrested was in Washington, D.C., where I was born, and Bob was born about 12 miles up the road at Bethesda Naval Hospital. So we call the Potomac our river. So we went back there to a thing called Democracy Spring. And we actually made history that day in that there were the most arrests ever that the Capitol Police did in one day. And there were probably about 1,000 of us. The march went on for a whole week, and every day had a different topic. One day it was about workers, Fight for 15. One day it was about social justice. One day it was about climate action. One day it was about the youth. And Bob went the first day and was arrested and held for, I don't know, maybe 12 hours or so. So, and they, you know, put the things on your wrist and et cetera. I'll have to say the Capitol Police were quite gentle.
Yeah, this is what they do.
Yeah. And so I went another day. I was with the Elders Group. And so there was a whole organization called Elders Climate Action. And so the average age there was probably 70 or 75. And it's just elders that, you know, realize that, you know, we have to protect the planet for the next seven generations, which, of course, comes from indigenous wisdom. And so that's when we decided not to both get arrested on the same day. But we were trained in nonviolent conflict ahead of time. There was a whole system that was worked out. So that organization we're still involved with. And if I told you all the organizations we're involved with, it'd probably take up the rest of the time. But, we just decided we're blabbermouths for good. we will try to share as much as we can.
The one PS I'd add is that, frankly, it's been a challenge for us because there are many people who are involved in trying to reverse course on things, again, whatever the issue is, when it comes to protests or organizations or movements. And we find within them there are many people that are, frankly, angry. And the way they communicate, the words they use, what it says on their signs, the way they act is in a space of what we believe is fear-based or actually love concern for the situation and changing the situation. And, you know, whether that's today or whether it's in 1968, that was the case.
Yep.
People that are angry. And for us, we don't really want to participate from a standpoint of anger. That's why I feel so comfortable at the way we found ourselves into sacred activism was through a spiritual path, because we want to protest and say, something's got to change. Here's ways to change it. Here's organizations, movements, people involved in that. And the reason is out of love for humanity, out of love for fellow human beings, out of love for the planet, out of love for the human experience journey. We know that certain things need to change, and we need to speak up. So our signs at the Women's March in Orlando and Sarasota this year said, March with Heart. And then at the bottom it said, hashtag power to the polls, because we do need to take action. We citizens need to accept our responsibility and be involved, but doing it from a place of desire for improvement as opposed to just bitching, moaning, yelling, calling other people names, which we're being trained to do by the political industrial complex, frankly. The far right, far left, we're being trained to just alienate, say the other side, quote, other side is bad, call them names, and yell about what we want.
But I will say that any march that I've been a part of, that we've been a part of, I've never felt that anger, yelling, screaming, you know, and I don't know, maybe there's just a different type of march. I hope it's because there's a different type of marcher evolving that is about bringing love. But, of course, there was a tragic Charlottesville in August of last year. And one of the things where there was, you know, that we weren't involved in that. But what we were involved in was an event just a couple months ago called Listen First to Understand. And it was in Charlottesville and was a whole day dedicated, I think there are probably 30 or 40 different organizations that came just to do healing on that day. Mm. These organizations, Alliance for Peace, Democracy Spring was there. You know, the
Bridge Alliance.
Bridge Alliance. Mm-hmm. The mother of the Heather Heyer, who was tragically killed that day, she started a foundation. And they also brought together a person who was a former Klans person, and she talked about her experience, as mm-hmm. well as the doctor who worked on the who saved the Dallas policemen who were shot, and he was an African-American. And so it was just wonderful to see these people from all these different points of view. I think we even had Billy Graham's granddaughter was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really come together, a lot of different points of view, and it was a very healing gathering. So I don't know how, I just get lost in some of these things to do.
That what you describe, you know, it really is very moving, and it's really, and it's all about the holographic healing, where everybody holds a piece, and as everybody puts their piece in, it magnifies, and it invites everybody else's piece in, and it's pivotal to creating the world we want to live in. Everything you're saying is just so deeply soulful and very important pieces in the design. That's what I'm hearing when you share. There's a frequency, too, that gets me all excited, by the way. I'm ready to get my sign and go and stand there and say I'm marching for love again. I went to the Children's March this year. And I know what you feel when you feel that sense of what breaks your heart. That message is so true. It'll inspire you. It'll move you. You know. So yes, TJ, where are you going
to? I'm glad to hear you say that you're marching in love, because I have seen some people. You know, the media is going to show. They're going to slant things. But you see people that are fighting and negative and angry, and nothing is ever accomplished. That's what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years. And, you know, we've had a few examples of people marching in love, Martin Luther King and even obviously Gandhi and others, and the great effect it had. And it's always, you know, I think there are those that want to create division. Like you said, you had so many different voices that were there at this event of different opinions. And the more we start to look at each other, the more we realize we're more alike. And I was looking on your website, and you talked about how we are all one. And there are many things on your, when you talked about your beliefs, that obviously rang very true to me. Would you mind delving into some of those things that you believe, that those kind of connections?
I'm kind of speechless on this, because it's just like, it's just so ingrained in me, that appreciation of all creation. There's just one creation, and we're all participating in it. We're all co-creators, and I guess that's why Bob and I, I guess accidentally, 6 or 7 years ago, established the Co-Creators Convergence. And this year our theme was, we just had this past month, was Heart Full Co-Creation. And it's just wonderful to be in that experience, to feel the oneness, that the union that we can generate and send that out to the world. That, and I think that's the awakening that's happening on this planet, that people are realizing the story, how they're being played into these separate, you know, into the dichotomy of, you know, you're this and I'm that, versus, you know, we are. And another thing is that, you know, there was a strong meme called I am. I am X, I am this, I am. And I think the meme that is now emerging is we are. And it's we are, because we are recognizing that we are one. And what we, you know, just like it is in the Bible, what we do to one, we do to the, we do to ourselves. What we do to, how we treat our brothers, how we treat ourselves. So I don't know if that's answering the question of oneness. It's a huge question, but I think it's more of a feeling, a recognition, and it's when you get on that love frequency that these the differences, that when you start to recognize each other as beloved angel brother and sisters on this playground where we've gotten a few of the rules messed up, you know, that mm-hmm. you recognize all those differences just melt away, mm-hmm. and you can play in harmony.
We have really, I think we've become more and more aware of this through our spiritual journey, this the what oneness is, beyond borders, beyond, actually beyond this planet, beyond time. And so just our continued spiritual journey, reading, studying, curiosity, continues to reinforce all of this. And, of course, with all of that, the recognition that this is not news. This is not news to the indigenous of Australia or the indigenous of North America or South America. And we like many others, and you know, basically a privileged middle class white born in the United States of America journey this time through, are taught about the other, and it's gotten even more extreme in this United States, and it's gotten even more extreme through leadership. Political leadership in this country and other countries doing the same, and we just feel it truly in our heart. And you know, whether it's our trips to the Federation of Dominher in Italy or other things that we've been very blessed to do, reinforce all of that, reinforce that oneness.
And I just want to. You've mentioned our website several times, and the only reason I bring it up is that we call ourselves Light Partners, L-I-G-H-T, Partners. And that was given to us probably in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we were recognized, our I guess what you would say our sub tag is that we're partners with Light
to serve
our one sacred life. And that came to us, and, you know, people say, well, you know, are you light workers or light workers or something like that? And we said, no, we're not light workers because we don't like to work, but we will partner. we try to find partners all over the planet that want to recognize each other as light. We're light,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we can't separate light.
Yes. Yes.
So...
I love that. I totally relate to that too. Light workers that don't like to work.
We already did all that. We want to just partner now and have a, you know, lighten up this planet in more
absolutely.
Ways than one.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I did have a question too. From the time that you started, right? You know, mm-hmm. 10 years ago to now, right? I have a feeling that you notice this wave that is expanding as you're going along. And the question I had is, do you feel the resources that need to be available for, like, the elderly and the children and those most vulnerable, are you finding a nice expansion of resources in that as you're going along and discovering what's conventional and alternative that is connected to these areas? Are you feeling that despite what's happening in one arena, because, you know, and I don't mean any criticism, I'm just saying I noticed that right. government resources are not viable for the most vulnerable in our country right now. I'm wondering if you're uncovering more and more of a wave that is building alternatively for that branch since you're traveling. Have you noticed that?
Well, I would say yes. What we observe is the resource is not money. The resource mm-hmm. is human compassion and energy put into action. And that, so, you know, in some ways, the contraction of money, you know, there's the yin and yang and zig and zag of conservative and liberal and fiscal and blah, blah, blah in this country. When one sets the time that we're in, we have seen are bringing forth people to care about their neighbors, to form organizations, to act locally, to support one another, to, you know, as it dips into political leadership, there's just this amazing wave that's happened in the last year and a half of women realizing they need to be engaged at all levels of activity. And again, political life or running for office or whatnot is a subset of that, but it's much bigger. And mm-hmm. we are excited about, based in a moment of extreme tragedy, of seeing youth waking up to, you know, because the common think is that, you know, whatever, we're not, you know, politics, blah, 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 we're being told by our parents, yada, yada, yada. But the spark that's happened at Parkland is one that we really feel is going to be permanent and significant in young people saying, this is my future, and I need to stop just screwing around, ignoring it, or not caring, and stepping into it. And so I would say yes, but it's not necessarily money. It's other types of energy resource, if you will.
I would agree with that, Bob. And what was that? In 2014, we supported, we're part of the Great March for Climate Action. Mm-hmm. And it was a group that marched. We started on March 1st in California and then arrived in Washington by foot and then arrived in Washington, D.C. November 1st. And that was all, I mean, the youth that were on and involved in that, you know, what I'm really seeing right now, it's the youth that are activated and actually us oldsters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the people that are really striving, you know, really busy, you know, supporting their family and with their W-2, you know, I'm seeing like when we go to the marches, it's like the two ends of our
age spectrum
are a lot more involved than we have been in the past. Mm-hmm. Actually, we also support our Children's Trust, and that is a group of youth. One of them was on the Great March for Climate Action with us, that is suing the U.S. government, saying you are not protecting resources for us when we become of age. You know that. And that case is still going forward. In fact, when Rex Tillerson was appointed Secretary of State, that same week he was supposed to be deposed in this court case.
As the chairman of Exxon.
Yes, and then he said he didn't, you know.
He didn't work here anymore.
All of a sudden he has amnesia. But and then the current administration has tried to get that case dismissed several times, and it's still going forward. And
wonderful.
So I think we know about three. We've met about three of the
21.
Of the 21 children involved in that case, and so mm-hmm. we see them active, and then we also see our, you know, like our friend down in Houston is part of our co-creators group, and she was organizing the Women's March both years in a row, and she has to plan for it. She doesn't know how many people are going to show up. This year they had 20,000 women show up.
Twice as much
Amazing.
As last year.
20,000. So you have Marianne Williams and Sister Giant getting, so, you know, there are fires being lit for good on this planet. There are bonfires of things that are very beneficial for humanity. So I see that wave, and I'm not criticizing those that are, you know, the middle age group. You know, not at all. It's just that, you know, that they're probably doing what they've always done, but I think when you have, you know, grandma and your teenager
mm-hmm.
getting involved,
yes.
it's going to have an influence, whether you want it to or not.
Absolutely. Well, one is the message of the ancient, and one is the future. So it makes sense that that's united. And you've heard of the Indigo Kids, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so most of those kids that I've witnessed, and I've worked with Indigos for a while, but so many of the kids that are doing this are Indigos now, you know, and they're so eloquent when they speak. They don't speak like a child language. They speak very, very mature and very present in their knowing of who they are. So, but I, okay, back to what you're doing. I can get on a tear with kids, so I should warn you. You know, TJ, do you want to ask a question in there?
You know, you referenced a couple of times that you were, this became a spiritual path for you, and you said that you were told or it was shown to you. Could you tell me how or who did you have contact with other beings, or did you go through somebody that channeled or psychic, or how did you come to these conclusions?
Wonderful question.
That's a great question. I've never been asked that before. It was just a knowing that came to me. I didn't have any, any experience with any other beings, but it, it's just the thought just kept coming, and I'm going like, no, I didn't come up with that. Who came up with that? You know, it's like a voice that kept talking to me. And actually, earlier in our spiritual path, we were with a, we'll call her Teacher 1.0, and we were with her for 4 years. And as we were with her, it began to feel more cultish. And this same kind of voice came to me and said, you're supposed to be out in the world. You have to leave this group. Get out of here. And so then I, put in my resignation and said, I'm being told I need to be out in the world, and this, really isn't working for me. And then these people that, said they loved me for 4 years and whatever, never spoke to me again. And that kind of hurt.
Yeah.
But I was going like, it's like the universe started kept kicking us down the road. They kicked us out of Wisconsin. We sold everything on the same day and,
wow.
Got out of there and said, you're not supposed to be in Wisconsin. We're not going to have this project go through that you want to go through. And, we tried to sell our house for 2.5 years, and as soon as we decided we were going to leave, I sold it to the first person that looked at it.
Wow.
So,
holy cow.
Really, I would say, yeah, it's a lot of signposts like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, my easy answer to it was that at my retirement party in 2008, they asked me, what are you going to do now? And I said, whatever she says. And because she's been following me around, although very accomplished in her own career and her own academic credentials and a lot of other things, we had been living in a world that was defined by my career path. And so pretty much when she gets, when whatever it is, says a message to her or whatnot.
Message.
And even the journey of, where we are in the RV, we just feel like it's led, as Noelle said early on, by mission and purpose. It's really what's ahead of that is spirit, is defining that for us.
I could give one other example.
Yeah, look for the signpost and then act on the signpost. Yeah,
you're very, Bob is so wonderful about that. But I also had another experience where after we left Teacher 1.0, we met Barbara Marks Hubbard. And she actually right now lives right across the street from us here at Sunrise Ranch. And she's 88 years old, and she has always been on the path of conscious evolution. So we studied with her for a year of conscious evolution, and that opened us up more into the world. And so 2012 was coming around. And so Barbara said, what is your gift to the shift? And I'm like, well, what's that lady talking about? She says, what's your gift to the shift, in humanity? And so, we were asked to think about that and report back in or whatever. So I just said, well, I don't know. We live in an RV. How's that a gift to shift in humanity? And then the message came again. It says, you're supposed to go to all 48 states and tell people about this Birth 2012 event and talk about conscious evolution. And so I said to the little voice, listen, I just met the lady. I don't know anything about conscious evolution.
I don't even know how to spell consciousness.
So then it wouldn't give up. It said, well, Barbara has a movie, and it's a 40-minute movie. She has a two-part movie. It's called Humanity Ascending, and the first one is called Our Story. And I thought it's a vision for a new humanity. And so then the little voice said, well, then you're supposed to go to all 48 states, show the movie, and then have conscious conversation afterwards. So we did. So we started out, and we are self-funded, and we had no. We left Florida. We're at Florida at the time. We had one appointment that we set up for ourselves in Atlanta, and then 5.5 months later, we had done 93 presentations in all 48 states, and a couple in Canada, and traveled. I don't know how many miles, Bob.
I don't remember, 20,214.
Wow.
Wow.
And so we presented that movie, and then the culmination was, of course, you know, Barbara's idea about, you know, there's all the doom and gloom about December 21st, you know, 2012. And so Barbara said, well, we're just going to claim December 22nd, 2012, as day one of the new humanity. And so there was an online international celebration and
30-hour worldwide webcast. Yep.
Yeah, it was a fabulous event. So that introduced us to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And
yes,
a lot of those folks are friends today.
They are very much a very part of our life today, and it just keeps expanding, and we're blessed with this. We feel like we have a number of different circles of connection in different ways, and it's one of our life's great joys when we get to introduce members of one circle to another circle, and they end up doing things together, good things for the world.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, those were big signposts, and you know, I could write a book now called Zen and the Art of RV Driving, and
I want to buy a copy, and I'd like it autographed. So you've already sold one copy, okay? TJ, you want a copy?
Yeah, I think it should be Zen and 8 miles a gallon or something like that, because those RVs, you know.
On a good day.
A good day. Downhill. We at one time we thought we should write this book about that year's journey, and Noelle and I would write, she would write from the forward to the back, upright, and I would do it upside down from the other end, and we'd describe the trip, and people would wonder whether we were on the same trip. But it was our consciously evolving road, and it was amazing launch point, even from where we were at that point.
So
yeah, and it was really amazing on that trip, because believe it or not, I don't know if you're familiar with the Unity Church or Centers for Spiritual Living.
Sure.
We had never, you know, we grew up Catholic. I mean, we did the whole, you know, the whole Kool-Aid thing with that. So we never even heard of those kinds of churches. Mm-hmm. Our Unitarian Universalists. And through Barbara Marks Hubbard and a couple other, Reverend Peggy Hostetter down in Florida that launched us, that was the Center for Spiritual Living, it was so amazing to see how the universe and just opened the doors for us in every state. I mean, it just because we, you know, we made every appointment, you know, and
on the roll.
I mean, Bob was driving and I was dialing.
Trying to
get appointments, and some were set up a month in advance, and some were set up like 24 hours in advance, and that was an experience of a lifetime, and it really has. When the universe told us to get on the road, and we're supposed to be out in the world, I think we took them seriously.
Sounds like it. Yes.
To answer your question, TJ, of you know who's talking to you and how does that come to you? But I would really say it's about. I was just talking with someone the other day about. I studied with Neil Donald Walsh when Noel first studied with Barbara Marks Hubbard, and his thesis that God's always talking. It's just a question whether you're listening. You know, we had all those decades growing up of being told that we had to have one or two or three or four layers of bureaucracy to interpret what God's saying to you. And through all of this for us, we realize, you know, he, she is talking all the time, and it's just a question of whether we're listening and whether we're, you know, that isn't just words, it's other signposts, messages, and circumstances, experiences, synchronicities. That's all. That's
yeah,
all God. As far as we're
concerned,
that's all God. It's just a matter of interpreting, you know, listening and interpreting and acting on.
Now, that being said, if any angel wants to come in, you know, talk to me directly or any, you know,
or buy us a new RV,
or beneficial beings from other levels of creation, you're more than welcome if you're here for the good.
When you said that, I have to tell you, Noelle, when you said that, I got this vision of all these angels just following you everywhere. I just saw them circling, and with both of you. And there's a few fairies in there, too. So
Uh-oh. Those are mine.
Thank you very much, Joy. We know that's true, and we could tell stories for three more hours about,
sure,
you know, tires and, you know, blowouts and all kinds of things that we just look at them. You know, anybody else would go wacky, and we go, holy shit, that happened at the right place. That happened at the right time.
Yes.
I saw the nail in the tire now instead of when we were going 80 miles an hour down a hill in Arizona in 110-degree weather. And, you know, we very much know we're surrounded. And
absolutely.
And they're welcome, and we are grateful for it. And we know they're there for everyone else, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Before we got on this call, I was saying, okay, I'm calling you all in. We're going to be on this, you know, podcast with Joy and TJ, and I don't know how it's going to go, so you all come in here, give us some support.
I did the same thing, you know. And I think TJ did too, didn't you?
Yep. I mean, I'm at work,
yeah?
But I gave it some thought this morning. I went on my website on your website, and so I just put a good light out there, good energy for it. So very fascinating stuff. And you know what's really cool about all of it, Bob and Noelle, is that, you know, because you feel this, I don't get to travel like the two of you, but you feel by talking to people, and I talk to people all over the world, that there is a movement going on, and it is a movement of love, and you're proof now that this is happening, right?
Absolutely.
And
our world is, you know, there are more and more, just in the last 3 years, three that I can think of, dear friends of ours, you know, women in their 50s or whatever, have said, the kids are gone, I don't need all this other luggage, sold it all, gave it away, parked it, bought a car, and are traveling on the wave of love and around the country. And we support them, and other people support them, and yes, there is a movement. There's a movement, you know, of intentional community growth in this country. We're parked on one right now. We're living on one right now. We're very much connected to another one, the Valley of Light, that's a part of the Oracle Institute and East Pentagon in Virginia. We're part of their traveling ambassador corps. And so whether it's mobile movement that you talk of, TJ, or also those that wish to be in community living in ways that are intentional and in love, are all happening as well.
And I think what Bob's saying also is that there is an urge to get to community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day I get, you know, I'll get another inquiry from someone about, can you tell us about, you know, what communities do you know about? Or I want to start one here in Tennessee. Or I think there's one starting in southern Colorado. I mean, it's just like there are people. And when you get back to community, because I think that's recognizing our oneness, that we do need each other and want to be together. And I would say that's one of the, when we went on that tour, you know, around the country, Conscious Evolution Tour, that Barbara Marks Hubbard at the end said, well, what's the message from the field? What's the message from the field that you've been to all these places? And what the message from the field was that people felt they were alone. And I would, we'd go into a town and somebody would say, well, we'll host you, but I don't think anybody's going to show up. We go, we don't care about numbers. You know, whether two or more are gathered, Bob, you and me are here, we got it licked. You know? And then they would be amazed at how many people would show up. And I'll go like, well, you're not alone. Look at all these. It was just amazing. But there's a real drive for community. And that community, you know, I think is because we're better able to see each other as the light that we are. We're better able to shine our light and to see the light in others. And if we don't see the light, we know where to send the light. So it's giving and receiving all the time. So I think there's definitely this, as a friend of ours said, a wave of love. But I could probably publish a catalog now of people I know on the road. It's just phenomenal how many are just like dropping, you know, going like, that stuff doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I'm out of here. And a lot of them doing like work trade, as we are, to support themselves, whatever their skill is. And it's working for them. You know, say we have, you know, we have enough for today. So
that's wonderful. I want to thank you for being so courageous and flying free and going forward and doing all the work you're doing with co-creating heaven on earth. Because in truth, you're really bringing that in. And I also feel one of the most important messages you're giving people is that there is hope and there's a door and there's a new way. And I can't thank you enough from my heart to yours, both of you, for everything you're doing.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. And we haven't met in the physical. I know we will, but I just feel a real connection to both of you, and thank you so much for this time together.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you both.
And
we will share, because we are blabbermouths for good.
That's right. And remember, we're going to buy your book. And TJ, I think on this interview, we're going to have their website listed, right?
We will definitely have
so
that.
So they can be tracked down. Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful.
You
if you would also, lightpartners.org, as well as our co-creatorsconvergence.org. That's a very vibrant, co-creatorsconvergence.com. It's a very vibrant group. And anyone, there's no membership fee, there's no nothing. It's just bring your love and we'll share with you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for coming on and TJ. Thank you once again for everything you've done.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You bet. Peace and blessings. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.